And all the people said, amen. And good morning to you, and glad to be back with you again. And I missed being with you last Sunday, but I still really did enjoy last Sunday. I was asked to go preach in a little Baptist church about 7 miles north of Tahlequah, Oklahoma. And I'd never been to that church before. Didn't even know it existed. It's called Exciting Southeast Baptist Church. You ever heard of it? Well, it's north and west of Tahlequah. And I didn't know the pastor. Didn't know anyone there. But they do their services uniquely because of their situation. Their building's not large enough to hold all the people. They have a good group of people that come. So they do an 8 o'clock sermon, which is good with me because I'm an early riser. And then they do another one at 9:30, and the pastor wants you to do the same message because it's two different groups of people. And I had a good time at the 8 o'clock, but I was suffering with allergies so bad that about halfway through the second message or second congregation, I thought I was going to have to quit. And boy, I was embarrassed. I was losing my voice. It was getting weak and it was squeaking. And I said, y'all just bear with me for a moment. And I stopped and I took that drink of water and took a deep breath. And of course, I was on the inside praying, Lord, give me the strength. And he did. And when we got through it just fine, I believe they could tell that my voice was struggling a little, but they were blessed and I was blessed and I enjoyed it. And I'm glad to be back here at Salisaw and with you folks here and be back with you tonight if the Lord's willing. And I want to take this moment to just say how much, on behalf of myself and my wife, how much we so appreciate all those cards and thank you cards, appreciation that we've received in the mail from you this week. And, you know, that is so uplifting, and we really dearly do appreciate it. And, you know, when we read them down through there and saying, we read the names there, and then, which one is that? Where do they sit at? Which, you know, who's that over there, you know? But anyway, we greatly appreciate that. You know, for all the years I was pastor there at Black Gum, they always held an appreciation month in October like we all do, and people would always spend that whole month, you know. And for 34 years, I got spoiled on that. And then after I retired, by the way, I retired at the end of October in 2016, at the end of appreciation month. I soaked up all that appreciation and then retired and never got appreciated again after that. Never another card, nothing, until y'all sent some. And it made me think of that, you know. I really do appreciate you. We both do. And we love you in the Lord, and I know that the Lord's got great things for you. He's preparing the right pastor for you right now. He's probably ready to come. We just, the timing's not ready yet. Don't know what's going on, but just trust the Lord with it, all right? Please open your Bible this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. And you know, the last time that I preached here, the last two sermons that I preached was out of the book of Ephesians, and I had started a little series there. Now, I'm not attempting to do a verse-by-verse through the book of Ephesians. That takes some time and some commitment. I love to do that. I think it's one of the wonderful books of the Bible. But if you will look ahead to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm gonna preach a message this morning that I'm going to assume that everybody that's ever been in church for any very length of time at all has heard this preached. You should have, and you probably have many times. The message is on the four dimensions of God's love. The four dimensions of God's love. And I'm only going to pick out a few of the verses at the end of that chapter to read, because it's a topical message. I'm not going verse by verse through everything. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Remember that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the people in the church at Ephesus, a church that he had probably founded, led many of those people to the Lord there, and he left young Timothy as pastor there. But this was considered a letter that would be sent to them and then passed around to all other churches in the area and eventually passed down to First Baptist Church in Salisaw. This is God's letter to you. Verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow in your presence this morning. Lord, there's no way that a human speaking can express and explain the love that you have for us mere mortals. God, you've written it in your word, and you've expressed it on Calvary, and it continues to be expressed in your presence forever and forever. So, Lord, I ask you to use me this day, Lord, just as a spokesman, to exalt Jesus, to lift him up, to glorify God and your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. In the year 1978, my wife and I were struggling. We were trying to make it together. We had not been doing well as husband and wife because I was too ornery and rebellious and selfish. But I wanted to be the husband that I was supposed to be. I wanted to be the father to my little girl that we had at the time, and little baby, and another one on the way. And I knew that I was failing in that. So I determined that I was going to try to be that person. And after a couple of months, I realized that I wasn't. I want you to know that was humbling to me. I remember specifically walking through the house and admitting to myself that I did not have it in me to love my family the way that I even thought I should love them. I was too selfish. Now, maybe not all men are like that. But in that house, we had a little hallway. At the end of the hallway, there was a full-length mirror. I didn't go back there to look in that mirror. I just remember walking by there and looking up, and I saw me. And I said quietly to myself, "You're one sorry human being. You can't even love some of the most lovable people on earth." And it made me ashamed. But I couldn't change. I couldn't change. And from that time, for the next several months, I was so miserable. Make a long story short, finally I got desperate enough to go to a revival meeting, and I heard a preacher preach. And during the service, I didn't get saved, but the Lord dealt with my heart. I didn't know that's what was happening. I didn't understand spiritual things. And I went away from there, still just so miserable, just so worn down, and driving alongside the road going from Marble City to Vian on that old back road, I realized that I was just slowing down and my arms were getting weak and I couldn't drive anymore. I was so emotional and I'm not that kind of a person. And I stopped over the side of the road and I bawled like a baby and I couldn't say anything. I said, "God, I can't take this anymore." And in that instant, I was saved, but I didn't know it. Because in that instant, I had surrendered myself to the Lord. I come to realize that later. All I know is I just felt the relief, went on home, and was absolutely determined that I was going back to the revival meeting the next night. It was the last night. And that I was going to go down that aisle, and I was going to tell that preacher my problem, and he's going to tell me how to get saved, and I'll get saved. So we went back to the revival meeting. My little brother went with me, which was very unusual. Usually we was going to the pool halls. Where you going, Dale? I'm going to church, Marble City. And it just took off. So he got in his car and followed. We went over there, and a preacher by the name of Don Charles, an Indian guy, was doing the revival meeting, preaching over there. Brother Monroe Reed was the pastor. And this is in April of 1978. And I listened to the whole sermon. I really didn't want to. I just wanted to get to the invitation and go down there. And when we got to the invitation, I hesitated, but I went down there finally. And the preacher talked to me and shared this with me and that with me, you know. And finally, I said, let me tell you what happened to me. And I told him what I experienced. He opened the Bible to the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. He said, Dale, have you done that? I said, yeah, I did that last night. He said, do you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Oh, yes, I believe that. Will you confess with your mouth? Will you ask Jesus to come into your heart? And I said, yes, I have. He says, what does it say right there? Thou shalt be saved. And all of a sudden, the light went off. I realized that I was saved. That I was saved. But it was sometime after that, as I began to read and study God's Word, that I began to understand intellectually anyway that God's love comes from God and it doesn't come from me. And that I needed to learn how to yield myself to God to be able to love my wife, to love my children, to be the father, to be the husband, to be the person that God wanted me to be. And I could never be that in myself. And more I read about God's love, the more I realize how far above it is any love that man can have or that woman can have. God's love is beyond human comprehension. You know, because of my experience, I have a little smile, smirky smile on my face when somebody stands up and says, well, I just want to tell how much I love the Lord. And I feel like standing up and saying, I just want to tell you how much incapable I am of loving God. But by the grace of God, He loves me, and then I can share that love with others. There's just another way that I look at it. I remember when Jesus was here in John chapter 13, and He met with the disciples in the upper room, and He was going to partake of the Passover meal, and of course also during that time He was going to institute the Lord's Supper. But you will remember also at that time, at the end of John chapter 13, He told His disciples that He was going to leave them. Now He had been with them 3.5 years. For 3.5 years they had just been close by His side. They'd heard His words. Oh, they loved Him. Oh, they would have died for Him. And Jesus said this to him at the end of John 13, verse 34. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And then He said this, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now, folks, I believe that I can relate to every one of those disciples. What Jesus said went poof right over their head. They didn't understand what that love was. Jesus said, now you love one another as I have loved you. Boy, that is a different kind of love. That's a different kind of love. You remember Jesus, Simon Peter, just a little bit later said, Lord, I'll never forsake you. Jesus said, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Also remember that after the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus appeared to Peter and restored him to fellowship. And I also remember that up in Galilee, Jesus called Simon Peter out and said, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Yeah, I love you." And you know he used a human word for love, not agape love. And Jesus knew what he said. He said, "Feed my sheep." And he asked him again, "Peter, do you love me?" And again, he used a human word for love, not agape love. And Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you," with a human love. "Feed my little lambs." And then again, the Lord asked him, "Peter, do you love me?" And the word he used was agape love. And Peter was stabbed to his heart. That Jesus would even ask him that again. And again, Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." I believe it took Peter's entire, I'll just say it differently. I absolutely know, without a doubt, it took Peter his whole rest of his life to even begin to learn what God's love is. And he never really fully comprehended it. Because you never can. But in the end, he laid out his life for Jesus. Tradition says he was crucified upside down on the cross. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." It was recognizing that I did not have love and I didn't understand God's love. I just realized I didn't even have strong man's love. That led me to Christ. I was also scared of hell because I knew I was going there. Those things just convicted me and led me to Christ. So this message, no matter who preaches it, no matter how many times I've heard it, always makes me think of those things in my life. Paul said, who could comprehend in verse 18 of Ephesians 3. He said that we may be, let me back up 17 again. Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. You know yourself that if a plant is not rooted in the right kind of soil, it will wither and die and won't produce any fruit. The Christian is to be rooted in love. So many of us are rooted in being faithful to church, and that's good, but that will not provide or sustain you. You come to church because you love God. Churches will disappoint you. People in churches will disappoint you. If you get your eyes on the church, I've probably visited thousands of people who didn't go to church, and said, "Brother Dale, someone just called me Dale, they knew me all my life, you know." And he said, I went to church one time, you know, and all they did was fight. I went to church one time, all they did was pass the plate, they wanted your money, 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 money. I felt like, well, money's probably your God. And on, they give all those excuses. And I don't try to explain all that. I just bypass all that. I get to the point. Do you love the Lord Jesus? And usually, you know what they said? Oh, yeah, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Oh, yeah, I love the Lord. I read His Word and pray every day. I hear it over and over and over. Some people may do that. But if they're not going to church and fellowship with other people, there's really something wrong in their life. There's really something wrong. We're to be rooted and grounded in God's love. And you know, God's love is so forgiving. You know what God's love is? One of my favorite places to express God's love is Jesus on the cross. And then people slapped His face, spit in His face, mocked Him, plaited a crown of thorns, put up on His brow, gambled for His clothing, nailed Him to the cross. And He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do." Could you have done that? I don't know. There's been a few people who are so committed to Christ that because of their love for Christ, they could do that. I've read stories about that, but normally we cannot do that. Now, normally we'll say, get them, God. Get even with them. They wronged me. I'll wait 50 years to see them get what I think they deserve. That's most of our attitude. God's never like that. So let us look this morning before I use up all my time and not be able to preach the message, because it's such a wonderful message and I am so inadequate to even preach on this message. But Paul went on to say there that we may be able, if we're rooted and grounded in God's love, we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is, knows those four things, the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of God's love. God's Word puts God's love in terms that you and I can at least identify with, because God's love is immeasurable. No one can measure the breadth, the length, the height, or the depth of God's love. There's not a tape measure we can put out there and say, it's this long, it's this deep. But God uses those words to so that he can relate to us as people, so that we can begin to just slightly comprehend God's love. And some preacher or some teacher years and years ago did this. I don't know who the first person was, but every preacher who's ever preached has used the same program that I'm going to use this morning. You can take those four dimensions of God's love, the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and turn to John 3:16, which is what I want you to do right now, and you can see the measure of each one of those measures in John 3:16. There may be just one or two people here that say, I've never heard that before. I'm assuming everybody has. So we're going to go to John 3:16. And I want to take those words. By the way, there are 25 words in the King James translation of John 3:16, the most familiar verse in all the Word of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the King James translation, that's 25 words. Guess what the middle word is? S-O-N, Son. 12 words leading up to Son, 12 words after the Son. And it reminds us that Jesus is the center of God's love, that everything is centered around him. All of God's truth is centered around Jesus. All of God's character is centered around the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the center. All of God's love is revealed through his Son, Jesus. So let me ask you a question. What is the breadth of God's love? Breadth means width, right? How wide is God's love? Is it this wide? Farther than I can reach out. How wide is God's love? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. That's the width of God's love. And here the word world is not referring to just planet Earth. It's referring to people and all people who have ever lived in this world. No matter who they are, no matter where they're from, no matter how ungodly, how wicked, how cruel they are, God's love is for all the world. That's the width of God's love. That means God loves you. I've shared that with many people, and they'll say, you know, God loves me. I've had a couple of people say to me, yeah, but Brother Dale, you don't know what kind of a person I am. It doesn't matter if I know what kind of person you are or not. God knows what kind of person you are, and guess what? God loves you. God loves you. You don't know what I've done. God knows what you've done, and God loves you. God so loved the world. And yet we got today a lot of these people who think they're smarter than God. I'm not going to go too far into this. I think, no, now God's love is limited only for those that believe in him. The Bible says God so loved the world. God's love is offered to all. And I can show you some other verses that reference or back that up. And let me read one or two of them to you. I jotted them down here. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. God's grace was expressed in His love. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 2, I believe it's verse 4. Listen. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, verse 4 says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. It is God's will that all people be saved. God didn't just choose, well, I choose you to be saved, but not you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For the world, for everyone. Now, not everyone receives God's love, but God's love is offered to all. And only those who receive it experience it. Those who reject it do not ever get to experience it, but it was offered to them. It was given to them. For God so loved the world. I like what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is not true that God wills some people to be saved and some people not to be saved. The Bible says it is God's will that all be saved. For God so loved the world. God's love embraces everyone. God loved Adolf Hitler, one of the most evil, despicable, despised men that ever walked this earth. God gave His Son Jesus to die for his sins. God loved Herod the Great, the very one who stood there at Bethlehem and attempted to kill baby Jesus, and then he killed the other babies of Bethlehem. God loved him. God loved Joseph Stalin, an evil, wicked, communist murderer. God loved Lenin. God loved the abusers. God loves all sinners. The whole world. Somebody told me one time, now this happened early in my ministry, and he thought I wouldn't be prepared for it, and I wouldn't have been except just about a week before I'd read this and studied on it. Otherwise, I would have been caught without an answer. He said, you know, God doesn't love everybody, because it says over there in Romans, you know, and also says in the Old Testament that God said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Oh, he thought, I just proved you mistaken, preacher. And it is a difficult verse to explain in the Bible, because I don't want to sound like I'm explaining it away. But if you go over there and read those stories in its context where it says God loved Jacob, who later became Israel, you will remember that Jacob had a heart for the things of God. Esau did not. Esau cared nothing about the spiritual blessings of God. He sold them for a little bite of stew, just a little material food. It just didn't mean anything of it. And by doing that, by rejecting, he was the oldest son. By rejecting the spiritual blessings, he rejected God. Therefore, by his choice, he went away from God and had to experience the judgment of God. In other words, the love and the hate referring to Jacob and Esau has to do more with choice. It doesn't mean that God had an inner emotional detestation or hatred towards Esau. That's not, you know, you and I always think of love and hate as an emotion, but not with God. With God, it is a choice. It is an action. God gave His Son Jesus to die for Esau as much as He did Jacob when he finally came. But Esau rejected it. Therefore, he experienced hate, not in the sense that you and I hate. He turned away from God's blessing. God's love is for everyone. It is the breadth of God's love. It's for you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you want to do, God loves you. What is the length of God's love? Let us move on. How long is God's love? How long is God's love? Can you put a tape measure out there? You see, here's where the human mind just cannot comprehend God, but we can by faith believe it. There never was a time that God did not exist. Therefore, there never was a time that God did not love you. He knew you in eternity before you ever born. And there will never be a time when God will not love you. How do you measure that? Not with a tape measure. The length of God's love is eternal. It is forever. When did it begin? There's no beginning. It was always there. There never was a time that God did not exist. I love sharing that because I like to watch people's response. I've had a few people just honestly scratch their head and said, "Preach, I don't understand that." And I always say, "Welcome to the human race. You're not God." If you could understand God, that means God would be on your level. And folks, I'm sorry, that's a mighty weak God. God is beyond human comprehension. He's eternal. There never was a time He didn't exist. There never will be a time He doesn't exist. He never has to learn anything. He knows everything. He's everywhere present. He's all powerful. He never makes mistakes. But the length of God's love can be measured, listen to this, by how far He went to express that love for you. And how far did God go to express that love? He left the glories of heaven to be born in a cave as a man in Bethlehem. He allowed man to spit in His face, to reject Him, to mock Him, to crucify Him. He died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. That's the length of God's love. He would go to whatever extent it would take to redeem you and me from our lost condition of sin. How far can your love for God be measured? Well, I might walk across the street, tell somebody about Jesus, but not right now. I'm watching a ball game. Dude, our love's pitiful. It really is. Well, I know somebody down the street, you know, if they died and they go to hell, but I just call the preacher, let him go do it. Sometimes our love can be measured by what little discomfort we have to go through just to do a good deed for someone else. And look how far God's love went. The length of God's love. It's just immeasurable. What is the depth of God's love? The depth of God's love. Look again at John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's the breadth of God's love, that He gave His only Son. That's the length of God's love, that whosoever believeth in Him should not what? Perish. God's love is so deep that it reaches all the way from heaven down to the perishing. The depth of God's love. God left the glories of heaven. He left absolute perfection to be born in a barn. A manger is a stone feeding trough. It's not a little hut. And the barn would be a grotto, a cave, and everybody that goes over there can visit those little caves over there, and probably the one that Jesus was born in. And He left the glories of heaven to go to that, to go to a grotto, a cave. From there He walked the hills of Galilee. From there He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. From there He went to Golgotha, which is the cock crow, which is the place where the high priest is, Caiaphas' palace. And there He was rejected and slapped and mocked. And from there He was sent to Gabbatha, which is the pavement where Pontius Pilate sat. From there he was sent to Golgotha, the cross of Calvary, where he was crucified. From there he was sent to a tomb or a grave. But I believe he went much deeper than there. The Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'll not try to get into all this really controversial stuff that people do, and it is a mystery. But the Bible says he even went in his spirit, he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Theologians disagree with what that means. I believe when it says spirits, he's not talking about humans. He's talking about spirit beings, demonic spirits. And then they're connected with the same ones who were influential in the days of Noah during the flood. And God, Jesus went there in his spirit and he preached to them. And the word preach means he made a proclamation. He didn't preach the gospel. They didn't get a chance to be saved. He proclaimed, "I won, you lost. I have conquered death. I have conquered the grave. I've conquered your boss, the devil." That's the depth of God's love. It reaches the perishing. It reaches the perishing. And we're all dying in our sin. And that's the main point. God's love reaches down to you, whether you're 6 years old, 60 years old, or 106 years old. God loves you. God's love will reach out to you. And as long as you're able to respond to it and by faith put your trust in Him, He'll save your soul even if you're just 5 seconds from death. I would caution you not to put it off. But that's the depth of God's love. He would go to any means, he would go to any place to express his love. Last of all, what is the height of God's love? For God so loved the world, that's the breadth of God's love, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's the length of God's love, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that's the depths of God's love, but have everlasting life, that's the height of God's love. God reaches down to the perishing and lifts you up to the heights of glory. You know, I'm tempted to say that I can hardly wait to see what heaven is like, and then I catch myself saying, "Yeah, I'd like to wait a little longer. Yeah. When my time comes, just be ready to go. You get ready before you go. You get ready in this life." What God has for us in heaven is beyond our comprehension. The Lord is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and you know where you are? You're in Jesus, seated at the right hand of God the Father. You are heirs of eternity. All the riches of God's grace and blessings are given to you for all of eternity. I cannot begin to comprehend or understand what all of that means. Can you? But that's how much God loves you. He lifts you up to heaven. I better close. When Jesus was on the cross, one of those thieves said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." That very day, Jesus took him to heaven. He went from a horrible death, the thief did. He went from a horrible death on the cross to the glories of heaven. That's the height of God's love. Folks, I wouldn't miss it for anything in the world, but many people do. They miss it because they think this is what life is all about. What you can get out of this world. Do you love God? Jesus said, "I want you to love one another as I have loved you." That love can only come from the presence of God living in you. Does He live in you? I want you to stand this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as the song leader and musicians come forward just for a moment here this morning. You know, all I can do about a message like this is just thank God that you love me. I know I don't deserve it. And even admitting that, I still wonder, why do you love me, God? He loves us because He loves us. We love Him because He first loved us. He loves us because it's His nature to love. He is a God of love. Thank God. Love is patient. Love is kind, gentle, goodness. Love has all those attributes of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But do you have the love of God in your heart? It comes from God as you yield to Him. It's not based on emotion. It can cause emotion, but it's not emotion. God's love is expressed in what He did. He gave His Son to die for our sins. Will we give up our selfishness to share God's love with someone else? If there's anyone here today, maybe the Lord has touched your heart in any way and you'd like to come. And, you know, all I'm here for is I can open God's Word with you, and I can show you in the Bible where it says what you have to do to be saved. I can show you that and I can pray with you, but only you can do it. You can do it where you stand. We can pray together. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, reach every heart here today as only You know how, according to Your will, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look up. We're going to sing a song during this time of invitation.